Welcome to the Ball Boys AFL Fantasy. Today we are reviewing round 21, which was a round of highs and lows that either felt like chaos was a ladder or chaos was a deep, dark pit. Let's go!
Hodge has done it from nowhere.
G'day and welcome again to the Ball Boys AFL Fantasy Podcast. I'm your host, Mitch Casey, and you can find me on Twitter at Ball Boys Fantasy. And jumping headfirst into that pit of chaos, Luke Rogerson is with me as always. How are you, my friend?
Beautiful segue, mate. I'm good. I've just actually noticed that we are all dressed in black today, and it's pretty apt, I think, because it's a fucking funeral.
The funeral, the death of your... I mean, really, this is like a... It's more like a...
Yeah.
An anniversary, really, because your team died a long time ago.
Yeah. I don't know. Can you be more dead than dead?
Yeah. So that Simpsons meme. Stop kicking him. He's already dead.
Yeah. I managed to drop another 1,000 spots.
Ooh.
In a week.
How did you manage that? You want to talk us through some of the low lights or the...
We'll get into it. I might drip feed you guys as we go through bogs and flogs. But before we do that, just how did you fare this week?
Well, I climbed that ladder, that chaos ladder, an entire four places on the weekend. So
unbelievable.
I went from 1,115 to 1,111 with a score of 23-27. So about as bang on average as you could get, really.
You'd be pretty happy if you could get that rank to three digits, I think.
That's what I want. I want a three-digit rank. And every, like, this week, I even saw, like, I think I was in the top 500 at one point. Like, I keep thinking, okay, I'm going to really stay here. Like, every time it feels like I'm getting in a higher bracket, but then I just fall faster in those last couple of rounds, games, I should say. So, we'll see. I dodged a couple bullets, but got hit with a couple of spuds as well. So, all in all, average round. But let's award some players the special awards. Where do you want to start first, Luke? Let's start
negative.
All right, we've got lots of negative to go. My hump. I'm in the firing line.
Get sideways, really show it from the profile.
Now, did that sound come through? Because you keep messing with our sound and
100% guarantee that sound will come through. Okay. If that sound doesn't come through, I'm not L. Rogerson. There is nothing more certain than that sound came through to the lovely audience.
All right, so camels. There are many, many camels this weekend that I want to shout out. Top of my list, Tom fucking Green. This guy, everyone enjoyed last year. Everyone loved a bit of Tom Green. He was off firing, kicking goals, racking up, leading the league in disposals. This year, he fucking sucks. And he's not interested in getting disposals. He's not interested in playing footy. I know GWS got smashed, but Tom Green was probably one of the prime candidates for why they got smashed on the weekend, on the Thursday night. 67, 72 the week before, 79 4 weeks ago. He's had one ton in the last four, and then all three of the other games are below 80 points. That is just putrid.
I told you to trade him, mate. I'm seeing him unbelievably. Oh.
Man, it is, very, very camelish. I've got some forwards. I tried to remember them up.
You're going
to
throw a few?
No, I'm sick of these camels in my team. There's a few forwards that I thought would turn up this week. They had great matchups. They're midfielders too, Luke. Jack McRae, can't get off the pine. Not interested in playing. 66% time on ground against North. 71, excuse me. Christian Petrarca, I think, is the biggest camel of them all. This man was in a 90-point flogging against West Coast. Kicked a goal. He's supposed to be the best player in their team. That's an absolute joke. 78 points. Handball happy. 17 handballs, only 6 kicks. What are you doing? Where 2 marks? What's this guy doing? He is as quenched as they come. He's probably too hydrated from all the, dietary tips he's given out. He's telling me how to get hydrated. I don't know, because, man, he doesn't want the pill. Go get the pill, Christian. You're a forward, for fuck's sake.
They won by 80 points.
80 points? You can't get fucking 80 points? Yeah. You won. Your team won by more than you scored in fantasy. The fuck does that say? Oh, I'm sick of it. Anyway, there's more camels I could give out, but those are the top of the list. Not even to mention the guy that's a premium midfielder didn't score 40. We'll touch on that.
We will get there. Okay, well, I mean, let's get positive. I like to bring a bit of positivity.
Let's do it.
Occasionally.
Who lives in a pineapple under the sea?
SpongeBob SquarePants!
Absorbent and yellow and porous is he?
SpongeBob SquarePants!
All right, absorbent and yellow and porous. And, I mean, you've had it tough in the previous segment, so I'll let you do a little victory lap here, because you've been talking about your boy Romar for the last couple of weeks, and he was good on the weekend.
Well, this is a man that he is thirsty. This guy is a sponge through and through. And he gets a whiff of an easy opponent, and he will take advantage, even on sometimes a not easy opponent. It's been a little bit tougher this year with some role changes and things like that, some injury concerns at the start of the year. But this guy, in his DNA, this is a guy that loves his own stats. And after the kick that set up the winning goal last week, he was feeling himself. And he went, fuck all these other rocks, I'm going to go out and dominate. I don't care if... what's his face is there? What was his name? Heathy. I don't care if he's there. I'm still going to put up 140, and he did that, and he rolls into Richmond this week.
I do want to give a little shout out to a player that all the good coaches have been holding recently too, because there was a big score waiting in the wings, and Caleb Daniel.
This is disgusting.
Caleb Daniel repaid the faith. So all the good coaches still have Caleb Daniel, and anyone that didn't get the big 115 or whatever he scored on the weekend, you must be a dud. Because
biggest score of the year.
I've been telling everyone to hold for many moons now.
So. Round three was his last triple figure score.
Sometimes you just have to be patient.
Just patience. Just a bit of patience.
Yeah, I got a lot of patience in my team.
Fuck that guy. All right, let's move on to the bogs and flogs, because we got a lot to get through. There's a lot that's happened this past weekend, Luke, and let's give us the highs and lows.
And the winner of the Norm Smith Medal.
You're an embarrassment to what you do, mate. You're an embarrassment.
Okay, take me back to Thursday night, Mitch. Who is an embarrassment?
Oh, the embarrassment is my boy Tom Green. He's not Tom Green. He's Tom fucking Red. Red like the blood running through my veins. Red because he's fucking traded. I don't know how that's red, but he's out.
Where did the blood thing come from?
I don't know. He makes my blood boil because red like his hair. Because this guy cannot do anything right, and I'm sick of looking in my team. I traded this guy in for a Will Day way back when, and it just hasn't worked. Actually, no, I think that was so wrong. But either way, it was around that time, and he's just had a very, very disappointing season.
Yeah, the flags on his game are always there, I think, just because of the way that he gets the ball. But don't listen to me.
Red flags.
The bog in this game, Lockie Ash, he has been Mr. Consistent all year, but on the weekend he decided to have his big ceiling score. You know, I'm still dirty on Lockie Ash because of the way that he went about it to start the year. He scored big, people bought him in for the cash grab, but then with week two, people thought, okay, well, cash grab's over, we've got to get off him, he sucks. Since that week two, he pretty much hasn't dropped under a ton.
Hey, whoa. If you go back to that week two podcast, I said hold him. So... You obviously would have held him if you listened to the podcast.
You didn't even own him.
No, I didn't own him, but I said if you did, hold him.
Well,
so that's another victory lap that I'm taking.
It's proved to be a good move.
Yeah, 104 average.
Friday Night Footy was a little bit lackluster this week, but we'll still give out awards. Jordan Dawson can have the bog for reminding us.
Big game from him. Two goals, 125. There wasn't really many tons in this one, but yeah, he another 12 tackles in this one. Like 21 touches, and he gets... 125. Christian Prataka, take fucking notes, bro. Take notes. This is... Anyway, I'm going back to Prataka. But yeah, he is still clearly one of the best eight midfielders in terms of fantasy.
Dylan Moore can have a little drive-by on this one. 62 for a guy that people traded in as potentially an F7 loop a couple of weeks ago. You don't want that with your loop. It's just a waste.
Yeah, the forward line sucks and he sucks along with it. Let's go in to Melbourne versus West Coast. And look... The top scorers, I would say, yeah, we're not interested in a lot. Like, Max Gorn's 113, he was equal top scorer, but we're not impressed by that. What we are impressed by, and the circumstances that this did happen, shout out to Tom McCarthy as the best on ground in this one. His 91 would have come in clutch for a lot of coaches this week if you looped him on for Butters, like I did. If he was your emergency to cover for Rosie in your defense line, or if you maybe got the Steele news and put a him on instead of a Jack Steele with a red dot or something like that, he would have saved a lot of butts out there with his 91. So shout out for him. Yeah, he put up his third highest score for the season and his career. Yeah, only third time he's been above 90. So, good week to do it.
Well, here's where I'll monologue a little bit, because in order to get Jack Martin to Bailey Smith, which is just an obvious trade for me this week, I went McCarthy was my highest priced, let's call it a rookie, down to my boy Jaden Nguyen.
Well, at least you got Bailey Smith in and traded out Jack Martin, right?
Well, this is the whole thing. Then you just drop the little Adam Cherry's out, by the way, bombshell on me. So, okay, well, righto. Jack Martin lives to fight another day. The issue here is that I didn't need as much money to go Chera to the Cud Muncher Row. But by the time I processed all that in my peanut of a brain, I was already locked out of McCarthy. So that's okay if Connor Rosie plays. He doesn't play.
He does not.
Luke has the E on the bus, and the bus was in the fucking depot all night long. So Connor Rosie out, Buslinger on for me. It gets worse. I mean, Jack Martin was the starting sub.
He doubled.
Had that on field.
Yeah, he doubled Zach Butters' score.
Yeah, obviously I'm kissed because he comes on and kicks four goals in the third quarter. But it's
so kissed. You're fucking kiss,
I'm so kissed. It's probably a sign of where my team's at, isn't it? It's just really...
Yeah, sign of where your team's at, where your head's at, and all the above. Yeah. Christian Petrarca gets the flog in this one. We're going to back over him. He still sucks. But Max Gorn can cop a little bit of that as well, because a lot of people, I think, were expecting more. At 113, it looked like he was going big in the first half. Really slowed down in that second half. So
once I realised at halftime that I'd fucked my VC loop and couldn't take the score, I put out a very, very hard moz on him. So,
so we have you to thank for that. Thank you.
My apologies.
All right, Gold Coast versus Richmond. What a lovely game to go to on the Gold Coast. Norrie Anderson gets the best on ground for this one for being my vice-captain and being the correct call that I made going into the game.
Looking shaky at quarter time.
Looking shaky at quarter time, but we held faith. Because he was on track still. Massive third quarter with a 50-point third quarter. And that, 123 with 38 touches.
That's his thing. I was the proud owner of Matty Rao going into that game. And let me just tell you, my head was about to wobble off my neck at quarter time. But the Cudmuncher slowed down.
Slowed right down.
A bit like Richmond. So that was a nice first game to take your daughter to as a Richmond fan. Basically,
She got around the Gold Coast songs, which was playing a lot.
She did. The guy next to us had her converted by about quarter time. And then she was watching Toy Story after three quarter time. Yeah. And I don't blame her. I felt like joining her.
Yeah, so. I was going to say, she probably got the better viewing experience. Yeah. There's not too much, it's hard to have a flog in this game where there's just no expectations. And that's what Richmond is right now. Just a lack of expectations. So you could say quarters two through four, Matty Rao is the flog. After going 50 plus in the first quarter and then barely getting to a ton, but not too much to whine about in this one. Sydney versus Essendon, best on ground, Brody Grundy, a little bit stiff to miss out on the Sponge Award. This man is just dominating right now.
If for some reason you had the Tauru cards out in round 8 when he scored a 60 and just thought, you know what? Fuck it. I've had a premonition.
Yeah, Brody Grundy was good back in the day. Let me just trade him in.
Let me get that guy back in. Well, I'm sorry, but choose the colour of your Hilux, because if you traded him in at round 8, that's all she wrote. He's been unbelievable. He hasn't dropped under a ton, and when you look at it, he's barely dropped under 115.
No, yeah, he's so consistent.
This is just an absolute
fucking... And now ceiling. This is his first really big ceiling.
I mean, there's been big games in there, but they haven't seemed big because everything's been so fucking big.
Yeah, so since round 9, he is averaging 127 points. This is
a throwback.
Incredible. Yeah. That's bigger than any average he's put up in any season. So this is like beyond prime Grundy. Leading up to that, 81.5. So he's turned around 45-point swing. A 45-point swing.
Can we get Asada out there? Can we get the man peeing into a cup? Because...
What happened in round eight?
Did he get on the horse tranquilizers in round
nine? I have no idea what happened. Because ever since then, he just went, all right, I'm going to fucking dominate. And he just did. He went from averaging, like, the time on ground is the clearest thing I can see that's changed. So he was like 80, 64, 76, 78, 78, 76, 76. Then went 84, 80, 85, 78, 82. And it's just been 80s all ever since. So I don't know. Just got fitter.
Fucking impressive. But yeah,
drug test that, man. All right, let's go into the flog
from this one. I think this is a bit harsh. Zach Merritt, I told you he'd outscore Tom Green.
Oh, fucking hell. He sucks because...
He was a touch shy of the 130, I predicted.
Just a little bit. 76, couldn't even crack 20 touches. Essendon are just a garbage team right now. I mean, Sydney's not a great team, and it's only 14 points, but... Man, I mean, look at the scores there for Essendon versus the scores for Sydney. The top 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 players are all Sydney players.
Yeah, no Essendon player cracked the ton.
So. And Zach Merritt is he's the head of the snake there, so he gets the flog.
Let's go to the Saturday night blockbuster, Collingwood and Brisbane. So Josh Dunkley and Josh Dacos can
the Joshes.
Have the Joshes here, but... This, to me, if you pivoted away from Jack Steele to Josh Dunkley like 2 weeks ago, that's got to be close to the best two-week pivot in history.
Well, okay. My Gordon trade was pretty good back in the day.
Butters had a bye.
So it was even better. But this was a little... It was a nice pivot, just considering the shit show that has been Jack Steele since. So, what I was impressed by Dunkley was he got his 113, 6 tackles.
Hey.
So he did it in other means.
There'll be a press conference this week.
Yeah, but hold on, guys. I got more than 6 tackles here. You double guys are digits. Back to your old ways. But also shout out to Josh Dacos, who has just been ultra, ultra consistent. And he was my pivot off, who was that other Lions guy that I brought in? Kitty Coleman, yeah. After you convinced me not to go Dale, I pivoted from Coleman to him, and he's been a great trade since then. So he gets a nice little shout-out from there for being a better Dacos.
Looks like you might want to do the flog here.
Yeah. Caleb Daniel. No, sorry. No one relevant. There's no one.
No one relevant, yeah.
No one relevant.
Yeah.
I mean, no one has Ned Long anymore.
No.
So there's not really anyone relevant in this game. To give the flog, because by now everyone's traded out Ned Long.
How have I not been able to trade out these players? Let's do a roll call at the Oxlongs. So Callum Mills, I mean, he scored well on the weekend, but what the fuck is he still doing there?
He's fine.
Ned Long, Adam Chera obviously survived up until last week. Chad Warner, Isaac Rankin, Christian Petrarca, Caleb Daniel, Jack Martin is my forward line.
The only ones you really need to worry about there are Jack Martin and Ned Long. They should not be kicking around in any team at the moment. But yeah, Ned Long, 46.
I'm being held captive here,
really,
guys.
Really, really, really gross.
I don't want to be here.
St Kilda versus North Melbourne. Rowan Marshall gets the best on ground because obviously he dominated. But the flog for this one is Caleb fucking Daniel, because where was this? Where the fuck was this?
You told me he was going to get dropped.
He should have. He should have got dropped. 32 touches, 8 marks. I'm a little mad at myself for not just going, it's a St Kilda matchup. The forward line sucks anyway. So let's just roll it and just see how he goes. So I downgraded Daniel to Kennedy.
Significantly.
Yeah, so that's a 36 point loss.
Oh, that's yucky.
Yeah, that might have had me closer to top 1,000. But yeah, just fuck you for Caleb Daniel for doing that the second I trade him out. That is just... And I'm sure a lot of people also were doing something similar. All right, Geelong versus Port Adelaide. Couple of bogs here.
Max Holmes just did what he wanted, and Graham Myers did a similar thing here. This was an absolute shellacking from Geelong, and even this matchup wasn't one of the good ones that we were looking at for Jeremy Cameron, and he still managed to kick, I think it was six goals.
Six goals.
Yeah. He had four of those in a quarter, I think,
like
as well.
The first quarter, I think, as well. It was very early.
So, very impressive from the Cats. Not so much from Port Adelaide.
Yeah, so the Cats dominated. Grind Myers is the forward we all want right now. Because, that, like you said, that was not supposed to be one of the easy ones. And he goes and puts up basically his second highest score for the entire season. So, yeah, just getting it done. Now averaging 95 on the season. I think that's a career high average for him. So, killing it. The flog for this one here, it's got to go to no other than Zach Butters. I don't care you're getting tagged. 34 is putrid. You can't tell me you can't fight to 65.
He was all at sea.
That was... Is that a joke?
Yeah. He got drowned.
Who was on him?
The ocean.
Jesus Christ.
It was a bit of ocean gear.
Oh, no.
I've been mulling over that one for a while.
Did you put that in your article?
No.
I'll go back and edit that. Put that in there.
I've been mulling over that one for a while.
Nice. Ocean.
His name's Ocean Mullen.
Yeah, I get it. Yeah, he also scored 34. But he's the fucking tagger, bro. Zach Butters had 10 touches. Two tackles. You got at least tackle, Zach.
Yeah, Zach's better than this. But
he gave up. Absolutely gave up. I mean, they got absolutely just...
It was the motion of the ocean.
No,
Got to him.
Quit while you're ahead, mate.
I only watched the last quarter. It might not have been. But
88 points. 88 point loss. Do they like... Surely they're not tagging the whole time in a game like that, right?
No, to me, it looked just like a drop in the ocean.
I'm leaving. You said you watched the last game. Were they actually still tagging Zach Butters in the fourth quarter in an 80-point loss?
He was taking his role pretty seriously.
Holy shit.
I mean, maybe it was a little looser, but that's probably what's keeping him
Holy
in the team.
Holy shit. So how do you score 34 points?
His role in the team, mate.
That is incredible. Because he was tagged to a 46-point game the last time they played. And...
He was good. He just crashed over him like a wave. Oh, hey,
stop. Please stop. But he had...
That one wasn't as good.
His highest scoring quarter was a 13 in quarter one. Then he went 5, 6, 10.
Yeah.
In point scoring. That is absolutely disgusting. And...
I'm trying to... Something with current, like a rip.
Okay. The next game, Freo versus
there's
Carlton.
Something there.
Best on ground. I'm giving it to Luke Jackson for just being, again, another forward that I maybe wrote him off. I'm speaking here. I can speak poorly if I want to. But he's just good. And we just want good players in our forward line, not Jack McRae, not fucking Christian Petrarca. We just want good players in there, and he's just good enough to keep doing his thing.
And to finish the longest segment of all time, the Freo midfielders can cop a drive-by. Because what the fuck has Andy Brayshaw been doing recently? I checked just for the article. I thought, better see what Andy Brayshaw's been up to. And sometimes players can put together these stretches of games where you just don't... You've got so many bullets in your team, you don't consider what the fuck's Andy Brayshaw doing. The guy hasn't turned up. The guy's turned up once in the last 6 weeks or something like that.
Yep.
It's discouraging. It's just...
The only guy who can score in that midfield... is the one and only top knot, Hayden Young, and he went down with an injury. He scored his big, 98 points in 58% time on ground the week before. He's the only one that can score, but he's gone now too with that adductor injury. So let's move on from, like you said, the longest segment ever. I had a lot to get off my chest there. Talking strategy now, Luke. There is 3 rounds to go. So not a lot of trades left to make. And probably a lot to fix up. But what do we do? I want to talk forward line. And I want to talk... This is off the back of the Caleb Daniel move. And it's kind of sent me down the rabbit hole of, should we just let our forward line rot? Like, should we just... I mean, assuming none of us have Jack Martin. But should we just cop the forward line and make changes in other areas? Because you could trade Caleb Daniel to Kennedy and cop a 36 loss and waste a move for a week, essentially. So what should we be doing in that forward line? Is it worth fixing up? What do we think we should be doing?
Yeah, I don't think the answer is just to let it rot. I think that there are a handful of players that are more safe than the rest of them. And I know that move, obviously, this week sucks, but how out of the box is that? Like, I think Kennedy is going to go back to being significantly better than Caleb Daniel. Guys that we don't own, like Luke Jackson, like Grind Myers. Mm. Grind Myers is coming into two out of three decent matchups coming up. Like, I think there's enough players there that are safer than your Caleb Daniels. The ones that I really struggle with are Christian Petrarca and Chad Warner, because they, to me, are guys, and Chad Warner's kind of shown it the last 2 weeks, where he's gone, I think, about 95 and then 100. Sorry, he went 70, then 95, so it's not even as good as I thought. But, like, he's a guy that's capable of going 95, going a low ton. He, to me, is maybe slightly less of a priority.
Yeah.
I would put him in a lower priority than a midfielder that you're confident is going to get tagged.
Yeah.
Do you agree with that?
I agree with that as well, because like, the difference between him and the top is just, there's just not that much. It's just not that significant. And in any given week, he can have a great game. Christian Petrarca is kind of in that mold as well. Like, he obviously had a big rest in that game. He played 20% CBAs, so they just kicked his feet up. Like I said, camel as fuck behavior. Because you've earned it, mate. You've had a great season. You know, you and Melbourne just had a great season, so you've earned your rest there. I don't know what we get by trading these guys, because theoretically, outside of that game, like, he has the role. You know, Chad Warner has the 50% CBA role. So does McRae, although his time on ground sucks now. That's what we preach. That's what we want to say and do. But it's just frustrating. It's just frustrating because it feels opposite this year. You know, you've got players like Sam Darcy killing it, Grind Myers killing it, these guys that don't have the role, quote unquote, scoring way better than the players that do. Maybe I'm just struggling to adjust to that.
Well, it's a decent segue into the second part of strategy chat today, which is tagged games. So,
yeah,
obviously it came to the fore this week with both Butters and Zach Merritt as well. It's bad enough for some of these guys that it's either a park them on the bench.
Hey, football fans, Drew Brees here. Kroger Play and Owner's Box have teamed up for the next generation of daily fantasy sports. First-time players can get $25 in free entries plus 250 fuel points. And you can score all season long with 2x the fuel points for every dollar spent to use at Kroger Fuel Centers. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Void where prohibited. Eligibility restrictions apply. 18 plus in most eligible states, but age varies by jurisdiction. Offer is valid between 8/6/25 and 1/5/26. Terms apply. See full terms and conditions at ownersbox.com/footballfuelpointstc.
Mention try and loop or it's a trade. I didn't foresee it being as bad as it was on the weekend.
Yeah. I mean, that is every player should be able to like work their way to a 70. Like, I don't care how bad you're being tagged. You should be able to work that way. What was that score that Tuk Miller had that time that he got tagged? Surely that's the bare minimum. And I'm pretty sure he scored better than a 34. So the players that have tags coming up, Geelong is the... Obviously, we saw that with Zach Butters. Drowned out in the ocean. Guess who has them this week? Essendon. Merritt's going to get absolutely clamped, right? Are we just jumping straight off Zach Merritt if we have any luxury to?
Yeah, I still don't get the logic behind some of these. Maybe from the perspective for some of these good teams, maybe it's a dress rehearsal if they need to tag a good player in finals or something. But
the only thing I can point to with Geelong specifically is they are sitting in fourth right now with 56 points.
Percentage.
Their percentage is key, because assuming Gold Coast beats Essendon, which is they're a game behind, they would be on the same amount of points as both Geelong and Frio, but they would be behind Geelong by percentage, which puts Geelong in the top four. So that's
significant. Yeah,
it's significant. So I think they're just trying to get as much percentage as they possibly can. They do have an easy run. Like, they should win all the games, but I guess they're just not taking their chances. So that's what I can point to.
Yeah, I think it's fair logic too. And like I said before, they can even just be using it as a kind of dress rehearsal too. The thing with Zach Merritt as well is he hasn't even been hurting you when he hasn't been getting tagged. Mm. And so that, I think, leans towards, yes, moving him if you're in that position where you don't have other duds in your team. Would you consider, with these guys, looping them and keeping a McCarthy if you can, or would this just be chop these guys?
Look, you could do that. I will say this week, McCarthy plays, I think, the last game of the round. So a little bit different than last week where you could see McCarthy first, then put the guys on the bench. This way, you've got to do it the opposite. I don't know why. It just makes me a little more nervous doing it that way, because if you don't have a good score from those guys going into a rookie, it just always feels like riskier than seeing the rookie first. And like you said, he's not hurting you too much. So like if you trade him out, I don't think you're going to worry about missing him. He goes into St. Kilda the following week, and we always know they can tag whenever they sort of choose to. The other big tag teams, I think the other main one is Sydney.
So Sydney have the Lions this week.
They have Lions, Frio, then Hawthorn. So you assume they're probably tagging Lachie Neale. Or do they go to Zorko? Zorko hasn't been doing much recently.
I think Lachie Neale is the guy that it's is kind of Brisbane's barometer in a lot of ways. And he's a guy that is susceptible to
it as
well.
You mean it's not the barometer?
Reese Matheson.
The
shotgun.
The self-proclaimed barometer.
How good's that? I'm the barometer of this team. Drop 2 weeks later.
I haven't seen him since.
I think that if I was coaching Sydney, I'd be more likely to tag Lachie Neale. And like I said before, he's susceptible to it as well. I think that...
So he's not super fantasy relevant.
No.
Frio the week after Sydney have. So
is it Geelong? It's Geelong, I think, isn't it?
Oh, sorry. No, I'm looking at Brisbane's thing. Geelong.
So nothing relevant there except your boy Maxi Holmes, maybe.
Maxi Holmes or Bailey Smith. Who do they go to out of that game?
Hopefully both for my team.
They have done that before. And then obviously the flip, Geelong versus Sydney and then Richmond. So not super relevant. Do they go to someone like... It's probably Heaney, yeah?
Geelong.
Yeah, they probably tag Heaney. They're not tagging Errol, are they?
No, but Heaney will just go and play forward.
So could they tag Errol?
I don't think team... Like, let's call them Heaney, Petrarca, Bont. These guys that you know will just take you to full forward. I think there's a bit of cat and mouse there where teams will go, okay, well, if you're going to start the midfield, we might throw you there, but we know that there's the opportunity for you to go forward. So maybe they'll look to tag elsewhere, but...
It's more obvious when there's a player like Zach Butters and Merritt, specifically in those teams where
no one else can beat you.
Like they're the only guys left. I think it's. I'd be very worried about Zach Merritt this week, and he is currently in my trade plans. So much so that I am playing Zach Butters again. Is that crazy? Am I crazy to give him another chance after he scored a fucking 30? He comes up against Frio now. Frio haven't been tagging because they've had Luke Jackson in the midfield. They've also had Hayden Young in the midfield. But could they do a Wags kind of a thing? Because they have done that at times this year and against a Port Adelaide squad. They also are in pretty much the exact same position that Geelong are in, where they are the same amount of points. Now, their percentage is a lot worse than Geelong. But they might be having a similar situation. They're one game ahead of the Giants and Hawthorn, have better percentage than the Giants, but slightly worse percentage than Hawthorn. So a lot riding on that percentage for those teams as well. Could they do something like that? Because it obviously has fucking worked, because Port sucked. They got smashed.
Yeah, they did. But Butters has been tagged 2 out of the last 3 weeks. And they wheeled Finn out of the closet 3 weeks ago to tag him. I would say that the evidence up to this point says that it's less likely because, like you said, they like what Luke Jackson does in there, I think. But with, like you said, the fact that Port Adelaide have sucked and he's the only guy that can beat you.
Do you think it helps if Rosie's back?
I think it definitely helps.
Yeah. For him to avoid a tag?
Yeah, it just takes a bit of heat off and he's no longer that sole focus.
So if you're trading one of those guys out and you had to choose between one of them...
Merritt or Butters,
who goes?
If I'm a betting man, I think Merritt's more likely to cop.
I agree. What if we threw just someone who's really bad into the mix... And we throw Tom Green into the mix.
He tags himself.
He plays North Melbourne into Gold Coast. So his run is actually very good. Are we forgiving for him just sucking? Like, how much should we weigh up a tag versus a player just being shit?
I think you probably have to get rid of the tag, don't you? Like, Tom Green, it's 3 weeks ago, it's a 110. 5 weeks ago, it's a 104. they're not great matchups that he's had. Western Bulldogs, just the week just gone, Sydney. Prior to that. I mean, Geelong 4 weeks ago. Geelong are obviously a good team. And I think that the two teams in the last 5 weeks that he's scored half decent against are Essendon and West Coast.
Yeah.
So to me,
those are my thoughts. Yeah.
They kind of compare more to North Melbourne, and then Gold Coast, you've assured me, is a team that players will fall over into 10 tackles. So, yeah, I think maybe Tom Green lives to fight another day.
Does Finn McGuinness dust off his tagging boots because they have Collingwood this week? And does he get the weapons out and start fingering again? Surely he goes to Nick Daicos, yeah?
Yeah, if he's...
If they pulled that out a couple of weeks ago, why not? Why not? Well, Nick, if there's
anyone that you dust your fingers off for, it's Nick Daicos. It might be Josh Daicos, actually.
Well, it might be. I mean, there's been a bit of talk in the last couple of days about Collingwood being Nick Daicos or bust.
Okay.
So this might be a time to try and prove that. Then they go into Melbourne and Brisbane, where I don't see them tagging as much there. Maybe it's a Lachie Neale, but again, for fantasy purposes, it's not super relevant. So Nick Daicos, another one. Different to some of the other guys, though, I would be just happy enough for Nick to try and work through that.
Did Finn not even play on the weekend?
I don't know.
They just wheel him out like fucking Hannibal Lecter.
He's got the full mask on and everything. Except it's around his fingers.
Finger mask.
Just like a little... Finger mask. They're strapped together. Take it off.
Where is Nick Daicos? Where is he?
I'm having him for dinner.
Let me have that Mediterranean model.
All right. Anyone else that you can see getting a tag this weekend? St Kilda, they sometimes do it. Who have they got? They've got Richmond. They're not tagging. But then they have Essendon and then the Giants. So no one really to worry about there. It really is, to me, the biggest concern is Zach Merritt. Maybe a Zach Butters if Frio decides to do that, but we think less likely.
It's so good having a shit team. You don't even have to worry about any of this. You just tag it. Trade out red dots.
All right. So, with that said, do you want to... Let's go and talk about trade targets first. And then we'll talk about chop and block. How's that sound? Because I want to go through... Basically, we're bringing back... I want to bring back the best boys. I don't have the sound grab anymore, but we're going to bring back the best players in each position and talk about, basically, if I had 100 trades, what would my team look like? Yeah?
Okay, yeah, I'm for it.
All right, let's go. Let's start in defense. Best boys. Tell me where you disagree. I'm going to give you five, I think, locks and then a one flex position. Okay. Lockie Whitfield, Lockie Ash, Max Holmes. They've got a good run. Wang, obviously. Can't believe I waited till that point to say it. Sinclair, with his run, I think, is on that top five. And then any one of Josh Daicos, Harry Sheezel, I think, are the two main contenders for that last spot. And then you could also even throw Colby McCurter in there. He's actually been just fine. He's been really, really good. Those are the players I have in there. Rosie, if I could assure you he was healthy, might be in that mix. But obviously, he was sick on the weekend. And not the fully kind, but just actual not good kind.
Yeah, I'm not going to dispute any of those. I mean, Jack Sinclair, I'll say he's maybe just a touch underwhelming given the run that we were spruiking a couple of weeks ago. He's still three of his last four are hundreds, so you can't be too unhappy.
I mean, the run is still it's still right in front of him.
Correct, it is. It's still there. So I think that you're probably right to maybe bump him up over a Josh Daicos who goes into Hawthorne and
But Josh
Adelaide.
Daicos has been fucking awesome. Worst score of 84 since round six.
Yeah, he's been a good pick.
And there's some 120s and 110s in there too. So
I think the week you traded into him was the week that I traded in Philippoussis.
Yes. So story of our season.
Sliding doors, right?
So would you go him or Sheezel?
Ooh, I'm going Shees still.
Shees is still fucking good. He still has a Richmond matchup in there. And would you go those players over some of the... Well, we'll talk about the midfielders in a second, but would you go those players over the midfielders? I almost think I would say yes.
Yeah. I mean... The names that you just said, I don't think are at risk of a tag currently in their teams, maybe other than Wang.
Maybe Wang, but Whitfield.
With the matchups, not so much.
Yeah, they don't have tagging matchups coming up, I don't think.
I wrote in my article this week, Harry Sheezel, right, he is almost immune to changing in positions. Like he will go and find the pill wherever
he's
he is.
Just good.
It makes it even more infuriating what guys like Petrarca and Chad Warner do. Because
you're so fucking right.
He can go and be like, oh, okay, well, you want me to play half forward? No worries, 110, all good. I'll get it for you, boss.
That makes me even more mad. Fucking hell. Anyway, let's move on before go on that rant.
Let
again.
Me throw some midfielders at you. We'll see how we go here. So, I'm gonna go with old trusty Jordan Dawson. I think he's still in there. So Dawson, I'm gonna throw Dunkley in. I'm gonna throw Nick Dacos in there still.
Yep.
Bont.
Yep.
Ooh, okay.
Now it gets tricky.
Anderson.
Yep. I've got him in mind.
Matty Rao.
I've got him in mind.
What's Errol?
He's the next guy I've got.
Yeah, I mean, one good score in the last 4 weeks, but...
But his bad scores haven't been bad. You know, they've just been underwhelming, and I don't think he's copping tags.
No, he's got the pedigree there as well.
He's got West Coast in the last round.
Okay, so how many have we named there?
That's seven.
Seven, okay. So who's going to fill that last position for us?
A defender.
Oh, yeah.
That's who's going to fill it.
Okay, yeah.
The next guy there is Josh Akos or Harry Sheasel. Or it's Brayshaw.
It's not.
Who would you rather, Brayshaw or Sheasel?
Yeah, no, I'm with you on that. I'm with you on that. You can't.
You could even twist my arm and say I'd rather Josh Akos than Errol. It's a closer call. I mean, I think Errol's got the high ceiling and just the high potential. But, yeah, I think... That is how I would put it. I would have Sheasel or Dacos filling that M8 spot.
Yeah, and I don't dispute that. I think that's a good call.
Yeah. Rucks.
Oh.
I'm going to say Grundy's the obvious number one.
Yep.
Roll Marshall is number two.
Ooh.
And I'm going to say that despite Max Heath. Even if Max Heath is there or not.
Because his next two matchups are so... Actually, his next three, because GWS are good
for
Rucks.
The rest of the season.
Because the matchups are so good, and because of the fact that they're just kind of playing the big moose as a bit of a riding shotgun, chop-out kind of guy, I think you're right. I mean, had Max gone and kind of continued on and put up a 150 this week, then maybe I think it's a bigger discussion. But Roma, like you say, he's a scoring beast, and if you want the best run for Rucks, for the last three, it's him.
No one else has three greens in a row except for Rowan Marshall. Melbourne, the Bulldogs have turned into a neutral matchup. They're no longer green. So they only have one. And Sydney has two, with Brisbane being a white matchup.
Okay.
So Sydney is probably the second best run. I feel like Sydney's had a fucking great run all year.
Grundy's just that good, mate.
So I have the decision this week. I'm going to be trading a ruck between Max Gawn and Roel Marshall. And it's super recency biasy. I'm leaning towards Marshall. Should I be more concerned about Heath?
No. And also where you're ranked, I think. You don't care if you finish 1,200, but you prefer to finish
700. Yeah, I want to take a bit of a swing.
And my guess is that Roel Marshall is going to be more uniquely owned in the top 1,000 than what Roel Marshall is. Am I right there?
Yes, very much so.
So I think that's a good upside play, but it's not crazy.
It's Roel fucking Marshall. He's been the best fantasy player in the last 3 years when healthy.
Let me ask you this question. If you, like me, currently own English and Gawn,
is it worth
correct
trading them out? Let's have a look at...
I mean, for me, the answer is no, but if your team was better...
English is an interesting one. He plays Melbourne this week. I think if you traded him to either Max or Grundy or Marshall... So who do you say you already have? You already got Max. So if you trade him into Grundy or Marshall, who we said were the top two...
Yeah.
I think that's a pretty big... Like score difference, especially you consider the captaincy.
That's the big one, the captaincy.
Because you will be able to put a vice captaincy, especially, I mean, Roel Marshall plays the first game on Saturday. Sydney plays the second game on Saturday. So they're prime VC options.
Tim English hasn't played Max Gawn this year, if you can believe that.
Really?
Am I right? I think I'm right.
No, they haven't played each other yet.
Interesting.
Yep. Interesting. They've been ducking each other. Now in your team, the priorities might not be there. But I think maybe outside of like a Zach Merritt tag, this might be the next best thing you might be able to do for your team in terms of the short-term points upside.
Yeah.
Is getting a Tim English out. Because he's been so good to us, Luke. He's been so good.
Yeah, but it's that time of year.
It is that time of year.
He can still come on the end of season trip, can't he? So.
Obviously.
Okay.
But I do. I wouldn't be too worried about having him there if you're forced to have him there, if that makes sense. Forwards.
Yes, this is an absolute mess. So see if you can.
Well, I was making this list, and there is probably a few here that I think you can kind of square away. The top three, I think, especially. Bailey Smith, obviously. Grind Myers, I think, obviously, especially with their run. Luke Jackson, I'm putting in there as well. I've seen enough, and the rest of them are just more inconsistent, and he's just good. I'm going to just whack Sam Darcy in there.
May as well have a guy.
He's just fucking good, man. Yeah. Like, at least this guy, all the forwards obviously have some poor games. At least his good games are tons.
Yeah.
At least he gets 120s and 110s.
For a key forward, he has a remarkably high floor.
He gets in the ruck at times, yeah. And Melbourne's lacking. They're missing a key defender in Stephen May this week, West Coast the week after. And it's going to be a massively important game against Frio in round 24. And that's 2 weeks away. We can worry about that then. So I think he is in there. Kennedy, I'm still going to have in there. He still played 50% CBAs. I'm giving you the benefit of the doubt.
Can I put at F6 Dan Curtin?
No.
I think I can.
And you probably could.
He has North Melbourne and West Coast, two of his last three.
What's he? Because he's been good, hasn't he? Yeah, wow, that's consistent.
I think Dan Curtin's going to be F6.
The person who I landed on...
Who are you going to put in there?
...was Cozzy Pickett. Oh, I've been disrespecting him.
Oh, Cozzy. It's not better than Curtin, surely.
It is. 103, 81, 106, 77, 95, that's 101, not, 97.
That's not better
than Curtin.
That is. I bet you
way more hundreds
that's not better than Curtin over the last five.
Let's go last five.
Go do some math.
Last five for Cozzy is 92.4.
And last five for the Curtin call himself is...
Look it up.
My eyes are real bad.
89.4.
Oh!
Yeah, got you by 3 points, mate. Oh. Yeah, Cozzy Pickett. And he's got the better
one. Oh, he's got a stinky one in there. That's an outlier.
That is totally within the realms.
You take that out.
There's also a 77 in Cozzy's last five. But I think he's the guy.
Last six.
I think Cozzy had a
best
good
of
last
three. Best of three. Best of five. Best of seven.
But the bottom line is that F6 is just a shit show. Like, you could put Chad Warner, Jack McRae, Jared Cameron.
Actually, no, okay, I take it back. Jeremy Cameron, 100% it's Jeremy Cameron.
So are we buying into
Jeremy
Cameron?
Yes, we are. I don't even know why we wasted time doing math.
So he's got three games left, two of which Essendon this week, Sydney round 23.
The chase for 100. What's he up to? How many goals he kicked?
That's a good question. He kicked six. I feel like he's on 81.
Okay.
It's off the top of my head.
Mate, this is... We wasted people's time. We wasted people's time by even entertaining that peek behind the curtain or cozy. No, sir.
How do I
find
that?
It's Jezza 100%.
I don't know how to look up just general stats.
Let me Google it, mate.
Oh, no, he's got 75 goals.
Okay. 25 goals in three games. Mate, I could do it with my eyes closed. So,
What's he going to average?
If I was playing under 12s.
8.3 goals.
Well, he's going to have 14 this week.
I mean, if he wants to go for it, that's a lot of points.
The only issue is, and watching the last quarter of this Port Adelaide Geelong game on the weekend, was teams don't want to be that team that gets it run up on them. But
Essendon can't help it.
Probably not, but there is a bit of self-preservation that goes on where I think all the defenders... Like, the last quarter of that game was horrific, and it was Geelong forwards, other than Jeremy Cameron, just finding space.
Oh, yeah, because they were leaving...
Like, nothing else. Yeah.
So, what do you have? I'm going to look at that last quarter. He had six goals and scored 82.
Yeah. Well,
he still kicked two goals in the last quarter.
It was his second quarter, I think.
Third quarter, zero.
Yeah.
Zero in the third. 49 in the second. Yeah, wow. Okay. But... Essendon
are bad.
Richmond are bad. Round 24. That's going to be a massive, massive game.
I hope he's close enough to make it fun.
Yeah, because they're going to obviously include finals as well, right?
Yeah, 100 goals in a season, yeah.
Do they, in a finals game?
No, they don't.
They don't.
The answer is, I know what the question is. The answer is absolutely not. And he wouldn't expect it either. So, yeah.
Surely people would be like,
nah.
Trying.
No. Not a finals game. mate, win a dangly or get Jeremy Cameron a couple of extra goals. No, yeah. Sir. We're winning a dangly.
No, I mean, like the. Not that they're going to try go out of their way to do it, but the people run on the field.
Oh, running on the field. Oh, okay. I thought you were asking.
No. Did they run on the field in the finals game?
Hey, I don't. That's that one. I don't know.
Because that one's above. That's the 100 goal thing, right?
That one's above my pay grade. Yes, it is.
Yeah.
It is.
I reckon fans would just try it too, regardless.
They probably would. Any excuse for a little bit of public debauchery. Okay.
So those are the targets. I think. Obviously, you might already have some of those players. Of those targets, so if we just go back again, Luke.
Yes.
Back to the defenders. The players with the best matchup this round. So, obviously, the St. Kilda boys have Richmond, right? Am I right in saying that? Who do they have? They've got a really good matchup.
They have the Tigers.
So, both those boys there, I think, in terms of your defense, would be my number one trade targets. Who do the Giants play? Because they've got a couple guys there. They've got North Melbourne. So again, I think that's another good matchup. I mean, the designated kicker matchup for North is actually not great, but I can see a world where they actually, you know, I think they do pretty well in that sort of a scenario. Who are my other defenders that I named before?
Holmesy,
another great matchup. So, obviously, all these defenders actually have
a pretty good
matchups.
Even if you put them in your midfield, trade them in.
I would probably rank them in the order of... See, I think Holmes is probably going to get a tag or at least some sort of attention around 23. So, if I had to pick one, I'd probably... Wayne's at the top, obviously.
Yeah.
Sinclair, number two. Then Holmes.
Holmes is going to be so big either side of that potential James Jordan tag. It might not matter.
Yeah. Whitfield and Ash are obviously massive as well. I mean, I think Whitfield's just a class above. So, I don't think you can go wrong with any of those guys. You're probably waiting on Sheasel, Dacos, those guys if you don't have them. So, I don't think their matchups are awesome this week.
Bro, I don't think you need to trade in. It's just defenders this week.
Yeah, defenders are great.
Don't worry about it.
Midfielders... I think number one target of me for midfielders is Jordan Dawson this week against the West Coast Eagles.
What did he do against the Eagles last? 140, okay, yeah.
Yeah, that's pretty, good.
We'll take that.
You're not going anyone in St. Kilda against Richmond, Essendon, Geelong. There's no actual midfielders there.
He got three in that game too.
So there's no other massive, massive targets that I would really want to look at for the midfielders. Unless you have someone else in mind. Who do North play? North play the Giants. I don't think you're trading in Tom Green, despite them having a good matchup. So I think it's Jordan Dawson if you don't have him. Otherwise, you're looking defender. Rucks, we mentioned before about the Tim English move. Yeah, so it's probably either Marshall or Grundy. And then the forwards, it's Grian Myers, I think, is the guy you want. Or Jeremy Cameron. Who scores bigger, Jeremy Cameron or Grian Myers?
Jeremy Cameron.
Really?
He averages more than Grian Myers over the last 3 weeks of the season.
Really?
Heard it here first.
Wow, okay. That's a tough call.
And I've been getting every single thing right this season.
You might be right. Maybe they go to Grian in like a tag sense against Sydney.
No. I don't think that's going to happen. The only thing that stops Jeremy Cameron is just self-preservation of the opposition. If they decide that they're not even going to bother playing footy and they just want to stop him kicking goals, then, I mean, there's not much the guy can do with three blokes on him. But if...
Yep.
The other teams decide they want to play footy, then I think Jeremy Cameron.
I think we're ignoring Jack McRae despite his run. He's just not getting on the field enough.
No, he sucks.
So we're ignoring him. I know some people are even nervous about him being the sub. Obviously, they subbed Jack Steele. We didn't even talk about that, but Jack Steele starting sub. Fuck, that was a bullet dodged.
Dollar budged. Dollar budged as well. it was both a bullet dodged and a dollar budged.
All right, on that note, let's maybe wrap it up there, eh, Luke?
Yeah, I think we should go to bed.
Yeah, let's go to bed and make sure you guys drop a thumbs up on the video. I'm just going to go actually before we log out and just check how close are we. We are 20 people away from the 4,000 subscriber mark. So guys, if you have not subscribed, 15 people away, subscribe to our YouTube channel. Again, if you're listening over on audio podcast, go over to YouTube, just hit subscribe and never go back to that website ever again. It's all good. And we will see you guys on Friday for our live show, giving you the big boys and answering your questions. See you later. Bye.